reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. I'm talking today about Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul was in prison when this letter was written, and even though he talks a lot about suffering here in this letter, it is permeated with joy. I think the great Apostle Paul was a very vivid realist. He says in his book, in his letter to the Romans, have a sane estimate of your own capabilities, not inflated with notions of your own importance. In this little letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 9, he says, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness, that is, being he wants to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. We are helpless to attain the kind of righteousness that God requires of us. Any of us who have ever tried it realize that it is absolutely impossible without faith. But by faith, we can receive God's righteousness. And Paul goes on to say, not that I have already attained. Here we see his humility. This is a man with an incandescent intellect, a tremendous background of classical studies. His religiousness as a Jew was faultless. But he says, I have not already attained. I am not already perfect. But my aim is to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Verse 12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's my aim in life as well to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me, which is God's purpose. And the voice that you're listening to belongs to a woman who has not yet taken hold. But I do follow after. I do press on. I do want to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. And he calls you too. You know what Jesus said to Martha. Only one thing is necessary. Martha was so worried about her cooking and preparing supper for Jesus, she got very irritated with her sister Mary because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said to Martha, in very loving tones, I'm sure, Martha, you're worried and anxious about many things, but there's only one thing necessary, and Mary has chosen that good thing. Mary had chosen to sit at his feet. The psalmist says, only one thing have I desired, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. In Isaiah 43:18, we read, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. There's far too much dwelling on the past, raking through, examining it under a microscope, trying to figure out why am I like I am, who did what to me in the past. Whoever did whatever to you, may I earnestly ask that you consider this word from Paul? He says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of him for. But he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Don't waste your time pondering the past forever. Leave it with Jesus. Just take it to the foot of the cross and dump it. And then forget about it. Pick up his cross and follow him. And I think you're going to know a freedom and a joy and a liberty that you could never know if you spent the next 10 years getting it all figured out. We're all supposed to do that. Even yesterday. Don't rake over what you did wrong yesterday. Now, I'll tell you one little tiny thing that I did wrong yesterday, and it really bothered me, and I realized how silly it was to be so worried about such a little thing. I was asked to read the scripture in church, and I made at least two mistakes. Isn't that awful? But what did it do? It damaged my pride. Forget it. Do not dwell on the past. Press on toward that for which Christ has called you. Often I recommend on this program that you read spiritual books. My father used to tell us, read two spiritual books, two of the old spiritual books for every new one that comes out. It's a good rule. If a book has been around for 100 years, it's got to be good. One book that I would like to recommend, if you've never read it, is Hannah Whitall Smith's The Christian's Secret of a Happy Life. I think you can find it in your bookstore. You can often find it even in a secular bookstore. It's such a classic. Her last name is Smith, Hannah Whitall Smith, The Christian's Secret of a Happy Life. And then one that I've often recommended on this program as well, Elizabeth Prentice, Stepping Heavenward. Both of these are books which will encourage you. They deal with what it means to grow in grace. Have you heard somebody speak on matters which are far from your own attainment? Does it depress and discourage you? Evelyn Underhill, in speaking also of the importance of reading the lives of the saints and being encouraged by them, she says, as we dwell more and more on the spiritual perfection and heroism which is demanded by Christianity and so quietly and meekly achieved by the great creative servants of God, so does our sense of our own imperfection inevitably deepen. Perhaps the best approach to meditation on one of the great positive Christian virtues, charity, patience, humility, is first to see that virtue in heroic action in the life of one of the saints. And it is always good to meditate on these qualities because of that law of mental life by which we tend to become that which we behold. We grow best, in fact, not by direct and anxious conflict with our difficulties and bad qualities, but by turning to and gazing at the love, joy, and peace of the saints, accepting their standard, setting our wills and desires that way. This is one of the directions in which reading of the type that I have been suggesting can be used to pave the way to the meditation or mental prayer in which we make its lessons our own. Read biographies. This is Elizabeth Elliot talking now. I'm not quoting from Evelyn Underhill anymore, but please read Christian biographies. You can see the span of a life, God's dealings with that person all the way through life, the choices they made, the results of those choices, the virtues in those lives, as well as the faults. God deals with faulty people, you know. There are no saints that didn't have any faults. God wants to make saints out of all of us. So Paul says, I press on. In our town, there's one of those little places where they teach something, and I don't know how this is properly pronounced, but it looks to me like Taekwondo. I can look through the window and see these little kids in there going through all sorts of strange gyrations with their legs and arms, and you can see on their faces the earnest, concentrated effort to perform perfectly the strange movements that the master demonstrates. Why do they do it? Why, to reach the goal, of course, to win the prize, to possess the skill, to get the black belt or whatever. And in verse 15 of Philippians 3, Paul says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You might underline that phrase in your Bible, Philippians 3:21. Everything under his control. Isn't that wonderful? Turn your eyes on Jesus. He's the one in control.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.